My name's Mandy, and I'm the RNLI Water Safety Officer associated with Wells Life Boat Station, as well as being crew on both of the boats we have there. In the summer, I recorded a podcast with the lovely swimming teacher duo, Katrina and Alan, about how to get started with swimming. I hope those of you that listened to it enjoyed it. During this recording, there were some really great points made about life-saving, which I decided to put into a separate podcast. So here we are back again with Katrina and Alan to talk about life-saving in the water and how and why it can often lead to tragedy.
One point that you might make in some of your podcasts is the question about life-saving. Because there is this problem, and I stress it with the class that I've got, where sometimes we've done life-saving stuff, that although we do life-saving practices, that you are not a trained life-saver, and therefore you do not ever put your life at risk, because your life is worth just the same as the other person's. But there are rules that you can save someone without. There's speak, throw, wade,
yeah.
Swim. You can swim out with a
float or something.
A float, or you take your t-shirt off and get them to. long as you've got your feet on there, non-contact.
100%.
Non-contact life saving. Never, never do contact life saving unless you've been trained. My great friend, who was a top level in life saving medals from Mountbatten, said, if you're in a contact with someone, you break that contact, yeah. Whether you break their arm or their leg, it doesn't matter, you know. They're not going to drown you, so
no. You
do whatever force you need.
And somebody terrified and drowning is very strong.
Absolutely. I did a podcast last summer with the Wells lifeguards, and that was one of the questions, because it's a question that I talk about with when I go into schools, and I say, you know, what would happen? I started by saying, what would happen if you saw your... We'll talk about calling for help and what to do and float and everything. And then at the end, I'll say, so if you saw your brother or your sister in the water calling for help, what would you do? And one little boy said, I'd just leave her. So I thought, I've got to stop doing brothers and sisters.
Pick something up and throw it.
Well, yeah. I said, I now say your best friend. So I'll say, you know, if your best friend was in the water, what would you do? It's kind of a natural thing, and I deliberately teared up, because there's always a little boy in the class that'll say, I dive in and rescue them. And we'll have this discussion about why that's a bad idea. When I was chatted with the lifeguards, I said to them, if you were off duty and you saw somebody calling for help, would you go into the water after them? And they all said no. They said, we need that float so we can push it towards the casualty, and we're further than an arm's length away, so they can't get hold of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're obviously trained to save lives.
I would do it for a child, but I wouldn't do it for a grown adult.
For anybody that's remotely near your size, there's been plenty of double deaths rather than single deaths,
The one that always comes to mind, and that was on one of these Saving Lives at Sea, came up a little while ago at Blackpool, where a dog got into the difficulty in the water, and the owner went after the dog and got into trouble, and I think three policemen went in, and the three policemen and the dog owner died, and the dog swam out.
It's one of the things that, I mean, as crew, we would go out for a dog in order to stop the owner going out.
Mm. Yeah.
But dogs, most dogs, are better swimmers than we are. Probably
exactly.
Even than you, Alan.
Exactly.
It's the dog will find its way out.
Yeah,
and as you say, sometimes it's the owner.
Mm.
It's the owners that succumb to the water.
But I've done exactly the same as you were saying about these children and being... I would go in and dive. I've had this with children, but I've also had it with a class I've taken, because sometimes we've done life-saving, and I put them in the situation where someone is drowning, okay, and they are the only person who can help.
Yeah.
You've got to do something. You want to do something. Come on, they're drowning. You've got to do something. I'm pulling. And what do? They jump in.
Yeah. It's an instinct, isn't it? Yeah. It's a lot of
All you had to do was lie down and reach them. There used to be a lady who regularly used to go down to the quay to swim.
You're talking about Audrey?
Yeah.
Yes.
Audrey Cox.
Yeah.
Anyway, first time I saw her, I was walking along there, and she was dressed, and she walked into the water and just sort of lay there. And I thought, oh, my God, I better go and get her out. And then she started to swim, and I could see that she was all right.
Yeah.
But it was a real scare to me just to think that she couldn't swim and was going to drown herself.
But a lot of the water safety messaging that we're giving is about resisting your instincts. It's like the float to live. You know, you've just fallen into the water, you've had a heck of a shock, you've got cold water shock, you've lost control of your breath, and we're telling them to lean back and relax, you know. A lot of it is fighting your instincts. It's like if you get caught in a rip current, fight your instinct to swim against it, you know. And it's the same with seeing somebody in the water in danger.
And here in Wales, you have to be very careful. Even this would be 10 years ago, but I had an instance with two children, one in armbands, one not. My foot just slipped off, and I'm a strong swimmer, slipped off a bank about a foot, and I was going with the tide out. And, you know, all ended well, but
it may not
really have. You need to swim, whether you're an adult or a child here, the tide is very, very strong.
100%, I only ever go at high tide because you can't swim against it. I did a little experiment with Nick, one of our water safety people who trialled for the Olympic team, so he was a proper good swimmer, and I had him in the swimming area 3 hours before high tide trying to swim, and in the end he was just hanging on to the buoy with the water flowing over him. I mean, it's very strong. You can't swim against that, or even across that, to be honest with you, because it takes you away so quickly.
So, you know, we used to say with a river in the town in Bedford, you need to swim, but here it's even more important. As you say, particularly, or when the tide is turned and is going out, it's taking you away from safety.
Very fast.
So to round up, I'd just like to go through some of the key messages. Most people that drown accidentally in the UK are male, between the ages of about 15 and 35. This is because this demographic generally tends to be bigger risk takers and also have a very strong instinct to go into the water and be a would-be rescuer when they spot someone in trouble or distress in the water. There's a podcast with the Wells Lifeguards on the Wells tab of the Sea Safety page on the Wells Lifeboat website that talks quite a lot about this. There have been many incidents of children accidentally drowning adults who've been trying to rescue them. When their bodies are flooded with adrenaline and they think they are going to die, they will use anyone that gets into arm's length as a ladder to get them out of the water. If you don't have the right equipment, i.e. something that floats, that means you are more than an arm's length away from them, and have had rigorous life-saving training, you are putting your life at real risk trying to rescue them by going into the water yourselves. Call 999 and get help on the way. So talk. Reassuring someone in the water can be a very powerful tool. Get them to adopt the floating starfish position until they can get control of their breath, and then encourage them to swim across the current. Stay close by if you can do that safely by walking along the water's edge. Let them know you've called 999 and that help is on the way. Reach. Can you reach them with anything? That may be to hand, an oar as an example. Throw. Is there a rope, a throw bag, a life ring, a football, anything that will float that you can throw to them? All of these are likely to help the person more than you getting into the water yourself. So thanks, Katrina and Alan. That's given us a lot to think about. If you have a young man between the ages of about 15 to 35 in your life, please get them to listen to this podcast. It might just save their life. Bye.